Greetings this morning, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessing to be here again. It's been a while, but it's a blessing to be healthy and to be well. And I am still pretty confident that what we were dealing with in February, it was better if we didn't bring it to you, even though I think it went around here. From what I hear, and reminds us that Genesis chapter 3 is still in effect. Man did fall, and there are things that followed. What a day that will be when there'll be no more trial, no more sickness, no more struggle. But that won't be what a day that will be unless we're prepared to die and ready to meet our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, I'd like to just have a word of prayer. Could we kneel for prayer? Dear God, our Father, we are grateful for the blessing that we have to be able to gather as your people and open up the word and read it. We ask you to teach us today. Thank you for the blessing of being able to sing together and be taught by the songs as well. But Lord, we pray you would continue to speak in our hearts today. Teach us, encourage us. Give us the grace to press on toward the mark for that prize of our high calling in you and eternity with you, O God. We pray for your spirit to come and move in each one of our hearts. Pray that you would guide my heart, my mind today in knowing what to say and how to share it. Would you just minister to us here as a body today and pray for your spirit and grace to be alive and real in each one of our lives. Would you move here, Lord? We just commit it to you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So when I was here last time, I had shared a message out of Romans chapter 8, and I have actually separated that into three messages, and I've felt clearly impressed that I should go to number 3 and skip number 2. And sometimes that's not a good thing to do. But turn with me to Romans chapter 8. And just in a nutshell, as I think this morning, with what Brother Dennis encourages in not growing weary in the midst of affliction, in the midst of trial, in the midst of rejection. And I think it's right when people bring things our way that we look at them. It's right to look at them. But what Brother Dennis is saying, it's not right to go down under and lay aside our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but rather that we need to rise by faith. There is also a place when we're falsely accused, when we're persecuted. Those things are real. We don't want to make the mistake of saying, I'm persecuted, when, like Peter says, the reason things are coming is my own fault. Like, there's no glory in that one. We don't want to go there. At the same time, we don't want to end up down under when we need to put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So with that encouragement, what I'm looking at focusing on is adoption this morning. And I think they can go right together. To realize who we are in Christ. And it is by faith. It is by faith. As a little bit of a review. Romans chapter 7, verse 24 and 25 say, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. In the first message, we then went on and looked at the first verses in Romans chapter 8, where it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There is a freedom that we can have that is a different freedom than America is focused on. America's focused on having independence for ourselves and a freedom to choose to do what seems right to me. This is a freedom from sin and death, which is something that we will all reckon with when it's our day to die. And it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that's the judgment. Even atheists get really honest when they get to that point. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and the law of death. Being overcomers, being victorious in Jesus Christ. You know, we can fit a certain religious form, and we can do that. But when it comes to dealing with the power of sin in our hearts and lives, we can't handle it. It just is too much for us. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in verse 3, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Galatians talks about continuing to walk in the Spirit. As ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him and continue in that journey. Walking in the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, makes us free from the flesh. I'd like to very, very briefly just touch the points of the second message so that we sort of get a little bit of a connection here. I looked at verse 5 and 6, which is yielding to the flesh or yielding to the Spirit in our minds. What am I yielding to in our minds? Let's read the verses. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So what's going on in our mind really does matter. Then we went on to verse 7 or 6 through 8. I recapped 6. And then went on to 8, not being carnally minded. Not being carnally minded. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It's one of those clear statements. You go back to 1 John and you read things and he makes clear statements. Well, here Paul made a very clear statement in Romans chapter 8 here. So then they that are after the flesh cannot please God. And he's getting us to see here, okay, the flesh and the spirit are opposite. Which way are we walking? Which way are we walking? And the flesh cannot please God. But in the spirit, in the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, we have freedom from the law of sin and death, which is what the flesh is serving. And to be carnally minded and walking after the flesh is to be an enemy of God. Then verse 9 was number 3. The Spirit dwells within the believer. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And here again, he just ends up making a clear statement. If we do not have the Spirit of Christ in us, we're none of his. It's not a half in, half out. Either we're born again with the Spirit of God in our hearts, or we're not. It's one or the other. And he says, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. We need the Spirit of God dwelling in us. Let's go on to number 4. Verse 10 and 11. And in verse 10 and 11, he's saying that God does give his Spirit to his people, to the believer. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But if the Spirit is life, because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. If Christ is in us, the body is dead. And I want to be just clear here. That doesn't mean we don't face temptation anymore. That doesn't mean we don't face real life and real trials anymore. We're in the presence of sin in a world that where things fell in Genesis chapter 3. But now we can have a seed in our heart and the hope of eternal life in our hearts that brings us back in connection with God. And there's something to deal with this sin and flesh thing in our hearts and lives. Sin is dead, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. I want us to think about that just a little bit. What happened when Jesus was raised from the dead? That was a spiritual power that did that, wasn't it? It wasn't just a little flower that came up out in the grass. There's a Spirit of God that came and raised Jesus up from the dead. If he dwells in you, that powerful Spirit dwells in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies. We're not going to have a new body. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us when Christ comes back, we're all going to be changed and we'll get a new body. Today we don't have a new body. But something happens within us that quickens us. That quickens us by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. There is a power that comes and dwells in us. I need to keep moving. Number 5, verse 12 and 13. The Spirit gives power to mortify evil deeds. This Spirit that quickens us and dwells in us gives power to mortify. And the word mortify means put to death. Deal with them. Colossians talks about this too. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And it'd be good to, Colossians chapter 3 has a whole list of things to mortify and to put to death. It'd be good to go there and go through them. But what he's saying is, if we live after the Spirit, and the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead comes and lives within us and quickens us, that same Spirit gives us power to deal with the things in our hearts and lives that don't glorify God and can actually put them to death and deal with them, these deeds. You know, and there is a right place where I am who I am. God made me that way. But it's wrong when I say I am who I am, and I have my faults, and I have my weaknesses, I have my failures, and I have my sins, and you're just going to have to accept me that way. That's wrong. If the Spirit of God, the power of God, comes and dwells in our hearts, then a journey of sanctification begins where he starts working and guiding and leading us. And sometimes we can think, well, this has taken awful long. I'm not getting anywhere. I'm still struggling. But when you look at somebody where somebody was a year ago or 3 years ago and where they are today, oh, maybe God is doing work in my heart. Maybe there is progress. And our adversary likes to jump in at that point and tell us we're not making any progress. Let's go back to how we think in our mind. Don't believe him. We just read earlier here about our mind and how we think. We're choosing to think after the Spirit. After the Spirit of God. I am choosing, this is where I'm going. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Okay, now I'd like to go on. That was a fast journey through message number 2. And I'd like to focus in a little bit here on the third part and be able to go into it a little bit deeper. And I'd like us to get a hold of, we're adopted. When we talk about adoption here, you know, adoption in our minds on earth here is someone's adopted in a family because either something happened with their parents, or it was a situation where their parents wouldn't or couldn't take care of them, and so they're adopted into another family. Often not the best arrangement. Here, we were created by God. We were God's. We belong to God. And we've fallen from our connection and relationship with God, and we're being adopted back to where we belong. But it's called adoption. And it's open for everybody. It's adoption. So the first point in number 14 here is the Spirit leads the believer and identifies him as a son of God. As a son of God. Let's read verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Another clear statement that's uncompromising. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They don't have a chance to be. It's not a might to be. They are. That's who they are. In Romans chapter 6, he says we should reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. Think it that way, it's so. And here, if we can get this to register, if I have the Spirit of God dwelling in my heart, then I am a child of God. The Bible says so. If I don't have the Spirit of God dwelling in me, then I am not His. But I have the Spirit of God dwelling in me, then I am a son of God. And the evidence or proof that we're a son of God is that God's Spirit dwells within us. So how do we decipher here? I'd like to talk about a couple things. Are we being carried through the trials of life victoriously, acknowledging God and rejoicing in His strength? And I'm not sure what word to use. I'm a little bit nervous about eternal security, but that is what I'm talking about. Do we have assurance of salvation? I'm not talking about eternal security in a careless way. Is that present? Is God's Spirit dwelling within us? Is the person being led along the way of righteousness and truth? We can claim to have the Spirit of God in us, and the Spirit told me this, and the Spirit told me that, but it's not according to the Word of God. That's a test whether it's from the Spirit of God. And is a person being directed and brought along on the course to heaven to spend eternity with God? Is there a growing that is happening in this person's life? Is the Spirit of God dwelling in me? I'd like to just read a couple scriptures here. John 16, verse 13. I think at least some of us know this verse well. Says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide us into all truth. The Spirit of God will guide us. He'll not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He'll show you things to come. And I understand that there's times when a Christian can find the Word of God a little bit dry. And the answer to that is, we spend more time here. When we start neglecting the Word of God, it dries up for us. But it should be that if the Spirit of God lives in us, that we can open the Bible and read it and find things that are meaningful. Now, I'm not saying that means we understand every verse. I was just reading in Proverbs this morning, and I had verses that I went, not sure. And I kept on reading, and the next one goes, yes, I get it. That happens to us. But what I'm saying is, the Spirit of God should be living in us, and the Word of God should be alive, and He should be, like it says in John 16, 13, guiding us into all truth and showing us things. If we live from Sunday to Sunday to try to get something out of the message, we're in a famine desert land, struggling for survival. You can do that for a while. But we need the Word of God. And young people, I'm just going to put a plug in here. When you're young, go after the Word of God and learn this book. If you grow up and you get married and you have children, you'll have some years that are really busy, and your time alone with God can get really thin sometimes. And you need a foundation that you're standing on that you can take a hold of and causes you to be able to go on through life. And in that, I'm not saying that when you're young parents, you can drop your walk with the Lord. But neither should you condemn yourself if it gets a little bit thin. Press into it. We want that connection with the Spirit of God living within us and teaching us. John, 1 John 2, verse 27 is very similar. He says, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, that ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath been taught, ye shall abide in him." This is not saying that we don't need to come to church and iron sharpen iron and take the Word of God and teach it and preach it. But it is saying that we should be able to take the Word of God and read it and learn from it and get what God is saying. And when we come to church on Sunday and we hear the Word of God, it should be agreeing with what God is speaking to me already. His Spirit should be alive and real in our hearts, teaching us things. And when we start way at the beginning of our conversion, what we understand might be very simple. He talks about the sincere milk of the Word and not strong meat. Just simple things, but it's inspiring. And you grow thereby. And all of a sudden, you're eating a little bit of meat too. And you grow, and you grow, and you grow. That's what it means. And if the Spirit of God is alive in our hearts, that will begin to happen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. "Which things also we speak not in the words which according to man's wisdom, but that which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." He says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." If we try to figure things out in our heads, according to the natural man, there are things that just don't make sense, and we end up not connecting. The natural man, that's where that ends up. Point number two in verse 15, the Spirit adopts. Romans 8, verse 15, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby ye cry, Abba, Father." The Spirit adopts. So the Spirit adopts, and there is an Abba, Father cry. And I struggle in my mind a little bit. How do you explain the Abba, Father cry? Except going to a child. And let's just have this child be about two or three years old, and they get hurt, and there's a need, and this child comes where? Daddy or mama, papa or mama. And they're like, I need help. And there's this cry and an immediate focus where I'm going. Or the child that is coming to their father or their mother. Maybe it's this way. Daddy just came home or papa just came home. And here comes son or daughter with a book in their hand. Papa, would you read me this book? And you sit down and you read that book to them, and there's something that goes on in that relationship. I think that's another picture of an Abba Father cry. I belong here. This is my source. My place of safety, my place of security, my place of provisions. I belong here. The Abba Father cry. So another thing that comes here in this verse, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. This bondage goes right directly back to the law of sin and death. You've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. This spirit doesn't take us back to bondage. It adopts us into the family of God. And it's not unto fear. See, the law of sin and death has fear with it. When someone's on their deathbed, they know they're going to face God, and they're afraid of what's coming. And there's no peace. This bondage of sin and death brings fear. Well, in adoption, it's not the fear, but peace, rest, freedom in Christ. In Hebrews, he talks about boldly coming through the throne of grace. How can we do that before a holy God? It's because we've been adopted by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of God. And it's not to fear. We're often gripped with fear. We experience apprehensions, anxieties, and tensions. We dread, we get alarmed. We see danger, and fear tends to want to grip humanity. But in this adoption, it's a freedom from that fear. Secondly, I'd like to look at the Spirit gives us access to God as sons and daughters of God, which we've already somewhat talked about, but I'd like to read some verses here. John 1, verse 11 through 13, and this is way in the beginning of Jesus' ministry. It says, he came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe in his name. Here comes faith. Believing in his name. I believe what he said. That which is born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but that which is born of God. Being born again by the Spirit of God. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17 and 18. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now this sounds very similar to what we looked at before in Romans chapter 8, where he says, don't walk in the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Walk a different life, of Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He says, come out from among them and be separate. Don't touch the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. Verse 18 says, and I will be a father unto you. Those that come out from among them, I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. We're adopted into the family of God. This is not wishful thinking. This is not wishful thinking. You shall be my sons and daughters. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. But when the fullness of time is come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that he might that we might receive the adoption of sons through the Lord Jesus Christ. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit of his Son in your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. An heir of God through Christ. We're adopted into the family. There's another section here that I wanted to read some scriptures about having access. Maybe I'll read one of them, to the access to the throne of God. John 10:9 says, I am the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. By me, if any man in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture, sustenance, food for our soul. Food for our soul. We have access. We're adopted into the family. Let's go on to number 3. Verse 16 and 17. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. For the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Here again, we are the sons of God in 14. Here in 16, we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joined heirs with Christ, if so be that ye suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. We are God's children. I have several different things I want to look at underneath there in this verse. We are God's children. Romans 5, verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And when the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, it's another form of saying his Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Talks about the earnest of the Spirit. The earnest of the Spirit. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who has sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Second Corinthians 5, verse 5. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. What does it mean that he gives us the earnest of the Spirit? When you look this word earnest up, it's a pledge. It's part of the purchase money or property given in advance as a security for the rest. And in our terms today, when we're doing business transactions and we're talking with people about what they want to do and not want to do, it comes down to a decision, and they will put a what on? A down payment. Earnest money. And we say it isn't sure until you have a down payment. Because if someone gives no down payment, they're not committed. Something has to happen that makes this committed. So these verses are saying that God has given us the earnest of the Spirit. God has given us a down payment. God is not relating to us and adopting us as children with just a, well, whatever, and we have to wonder how it turns out. He's given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts that we can know, okay, if I believe God, I walk with God, I obey Him, He's there. He's going to follow through. God's going to keep His part of it. He's not backing out of it. God is not backing out of it. The earnest of the Spirit. Ephesians 1:13, to whom also ye trusted, after that he heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that being ye believed, here he says, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. It's the earnest of the Spirit of God in our hearts. And His Spirit is bearing witness in our hearts. Another way to say it is assurance of salvation. We're also heirs of God. We're heirs of God. I'm just going to give you references here. Hebrews 1:14 talks about being heirs of salvation. Titus 3:7 talks about being heirs of eternal life. Romans 4:13, Galatians 3:29, and Ephesians 3:6 all talk about being heirs of the promise made to Abraham. We are heirs. What does it mean to be heirs? We understand it in our day when our parents die. Hopefully they had a will. God has a will. It's very clearly spelled out. And we become heirs of everything they had. We inherit it. We are heirs. We've been adopted into the family, and we belong, and we are heirs. Heirs of what? Salvation. Heirs of eternal life. Heirs of the promise made to Abraham. Heirs. He doesn't stop there. Romans 8:17 and Ephesians 1:18 and Colossians 1:3 all talk about being heirs of Christ's glory. Heirs of Christ's glory. Hebrews 11:7 talks about being heirs of Christ's righteousness. Christ's righteousness. 1 Peter 3:7 talks about being heirs of the grace of life. We're heirs. Heirs. We're also joint heirs with Christ. How far does this go? We're adopted into the family. It says we're sons of God. Now, we're not Christ. We're not the Son of God, and yet we're adopted into the family, and we're sons of God. Some places he said sons and daughters. Ephesians 8:17. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs. Co-heirs. Participating together in common. I don't know what that's all going to look like. You know, really, there's a scripture that talks about crowns in heaven and rewards. I don't know that that matters to me. I need to get there. I don't want to spend eternity in hell. I want peace with God, with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given his everything for me, and that means I need to give myself for him. He deserves my service, my giving myself and my worship and my praise and devotion. He deserves all of that. He made us in the beginning, and he bought us back. Joint heirs with Christ. Maybe I expect he has way more than all of us together. And yet, we're adopted into the family and we partake of these things. Number four, provided we suffer with him. Provided we suffer with him. And this is almost like we're flipping things a little bit. But let's read this verse again. Verse 17 in Romans chapter 8. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So we inherit it all. Not just the glory, but also the suffering, the shame, the rejection. We inherit those things as well. And we will inherit the glory if we're willing to suffer with him. To suffer with him. Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before also with before my Father which is in heaven. Okay? If we're willing to suffer with him, if we're willing to confess the name of Christ, he will confess us. Verse 33, though, says, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. That's serious. Galatians 5:11, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. The persecution was about whether he's preaching the law or not in circumcision. Instead, he was preaching Christ. And he was suffering persecution because of it. And I don't think we need to look for things that just make trouble and try to see if we can get some affliction coming. But when we take the Word of God and we just share the Word of God, and I'm willing to just say it the way it is, in humility, in brokenness, in sincerity, with desire, that everybody have this freedom in Christ. and be adopted into the family. And then persecution comes. Well, confess Christ. Confess Christ. Acts chapter 5, verse 40 to 42. This is the apostles. were hauled in and reproved and rebuked. They were in jail because they had healed this man and they were preaching the gospel. Verse 40, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. This is the Jewish leaders. Verse 41, the apostles departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Later they were hauled back in and said, listen, we told you guys to quit doing this, and now you filled all of Jerusalem with your doctrine. And the apostles looked at it and said, listen, we need to obey God rather than man. We need to obey God rather than man. Mark 8, verse 34 to 38. This one is similar to Matthew 10 that I read at the beginning, but it has a little bit different angle to it here. Mark 8, verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. If we want to come after Christ, he says, let's deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow him. And if there's things in the Word of God that are looked down on, we should obey God rather than man and be willing to suffer reproach. If we try to save our lives, he says, we'll lose it. Verse 36, for what shall a man profit if shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And then he says in verse 38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father and with his holy angels. Being willing to suffer with Christ. Also have Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 to 28. I'm not going to there, but this is where it gives the account of Moses having faith, and he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season in Egypt. He esteemed the reproaches of Christ greater riches, greater riches. So in conclusion here, I'd like to reread Romans 8, 17 and 18. Then I have a couple verses here in 2 Timothy as well. Romans 8, verse 17 and 18. And if children, then heirs. If we're children of God, have the Spirit of God in our hearts, then we're heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Verse 18, for I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. When you look at the two, having the riches of Christ is way higher than suffering reproach for his name We are the sons of God, adopted into the family. 2 Timothy 2:11 and 12. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he'll also deny us. Let me read that again. It is a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, we shall live with him. If we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. But if we deny him, he'll also deny us. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What a blessing. Let's rise by faith and walk in it. Walk in it. We can't manufacture it ourselves. If we don't have peace with God, there's a way to have peace with God. You know, we can go on wondering. I've seen those situations where someone's halting between opinions and we don't know. Well, let's get on our face and confess our sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins. And if it hasn't happened before, it's here today. I am going to believe. I'm going to yield my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can be adopted into the family of God. And have peace and rest in my heart. You know, when I look at the great sins, I probably have two that I vacillate between. The first one that comes up is pride. That's the root of all sin. But now for us, unbelief is right there next to it. Unbelief, where I don't take the Word of God and believe it and obey God. And it's our pride that keeps it from doing it. And there's times that we need the Spirit of God to reveal to us His Word and His truth. But we can seek God for that. If we're not at a place of clarity, we can seek God for that. Seek God for that. But it's not God's will that we continue to live in a place of uncertainty. We can be adopted into the family of God. What a joy, what a blessing. I wanted to maybe say at the beginning, and I'll just say it here at the end. We were talking yesterday about having music class. And there's a number of you that express a need for learning how to sing and different things like that. And I want to just encourage you, keep singing the way you are. I was sitting here thinking this morning, now, if this gets better. At one point, I was wondering if I'm going to be able to preach this morning because my voice was starting to struggle. It's like, you know, if it wasn't good back there, it was up here. Amen. God bless you. Keep worshiping the Lord.